There are many believers who are ineffective for God. They rarely witness for the Lord. Often, they are nervous Christians without God's peace and blessing. What is the trouble? Well, the answer is very clear. They are running their lives rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control. Stay with us and hear what Jesus promised to believers. Realizing the disciples' discouragement and disappointment, Christ provided cheer for their downcast spirits by giving three important promises in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Here is the first. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. This verse is often claimed as a proof text for the working of miracles in our day, especially healing miracles. Without doubt, the saints in the early church were far more effective in working miracles than anyone today. Yet, who wrought miracles greater than those performed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there ever been anyone who has performed greater works than raising a man who had been dead 4 days? What our Lord promised here cannot possibly have to do with miracles that benefit the body. Whenever Christ ministered to the bodies of men, it was that they might heed his words regarding their souls. He declared in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Recall the day of Pentecost, some 50 days after our Lord ascended into heaven. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter preached a sermon, and 3,000 were converted. Possibly, that is more than were saved during the entire 3.5 years of our Lord's public ministry. This promise is not only for the small band of disciples, but for every true believer in every generation. There are some Christians who are doing these greater works, but there are many, literally thousands among the saints in the body of Christ, who are doing little or no work for God in the sense of being witnesses to point the lost to the Savior. Christ has given us all the essential equipment. We have His Spirit and His power, but one essential is lacking, a willingness to speak for Christ. Now the next promise is found in verses 13 and 14. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." These verses cannot be disassociated from the previous one. Greater works would be realized in the turning of literally thousands from sin and death unto Christ and eternal life. Such works, however, cannot be accomplished without prayer. There must be constant reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ if we are to see the transformation of lives. Jesus says, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, this is no blanket promise to get anything we want. God is too wise to answer prayers in such a manner. There have been many things for which we have prayed that would have resulted in serious harm, even though we were sincere in our praying. One important purpose for prayer is to benefit the soul. Keep this in mind whenever you pray. There have been occasions when believers asked for money, but God withheld the answer because money would have endangered the soul. There are times also when bodily healing would not be a blessing to the soul. God is all wise in His provision and never makes any mistakes. Our Lord prefaced the third promise by saying in verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Love for Christ was not to be expressed by words only, but by obedience to all that He said and taught, and there would be help to fulfill this responsibility. Verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Christ's promise was distinctly different from the previous ministry of the Holy Spirit. Though he would go away, the Spirit would come and continue the ministry Jesus began. This, of course, was a prophecy of Pentecost, when the Spirit would descend to indwell all who believed on Jesus Christ. Now, another comforter literally means one who comes alongside to help. The Spirit would come to be the believer's helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Lord Jesus would depart, but his own would never be left alone. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Comforter was described as the Spirit of truth, probably because it is he who makes the truth of God real to those who believe. The ungodly have no interest in the works of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14 reads, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," or spiritually blind. Unless one is sincere in his belief in Jesus Christ, he will not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. How different was the experience of the disciples? Jesus said, "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Blessed reality. The Holy Spirit dwells in those who love Jesus Christ. God says, "Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." How essential that every believer commit himself to the control of the Holy Spirit. We can do the greater works that Jesus promised only as the Holy Spirit has full and complete possession of us. One time, a group of clergymen were discussing whether or not they ought to invite D.L. Moody to their city for an evangelistic crusade. The success of the famed evangelist was brought to their attention. One unimpressed minister commented, "Does Mr. Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" Another man quietly replied, "No, but the Holy Spirit seems to have a monopoly on Mr. Moody." Does God the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life, believer in Jesus Christ? Is he in control? You will never know God's best until he is. And if you're not saved, let the Holy Spirit open your heart to Christ. Come to Jesus now and say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sins. I receive you as my Savior and Lord." And I guarantee you, life will change for you. It will change for the better. And you will praise God until you meet Jesus face to face. Blessed Lord, use your word in our hearts. Grant, Father, that we may yield our all to the control of the Holy Spirit, that we may be men and women of power, that we may find in us this mighty resurrection power made possible through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Have your way in our lives. Take full control. And for the unsaved, draw them to yourself. May there be true, sound conversions today as people trust Christ, for I pray in his name. Amen.